everyone, and welcome back to the Like Mother, Like Daughter podcast. I'm Lauren, the daughter.
And I'm Jamie, the mother. And we're so happy to be back with you recording again another episode of this great podcast. Tell me, Lauren, how was your week?
My week was actually pretty good. Not too many stressful things that happened. I got a lot of good quality time with my friends, slept pretty good, did a nice a lot of good errands, that was just not English, got a lot of errands done, ate some good food. You know, what more can you ask for on this lovely week?
Sounds like a really good week for you. I'm glad.
Yeah. How was your week?
It was overall pretty good. I mean, I felt like I had a lot going on, and, you know, every week that goes by is another week closer to the best place under the sun and a really good camp summer. But that, you know, always gives me some anxiety, and there's just lots coming at me. So I'm trying to keep my lists and check them off as I go. And we'll see. This week should be fun, because guess what? I have a colonoscopy this week. So I'm sure you'll be hearing about,
lovely.
I'm sure you'll be hearing about that in my low lights, highlights, or medium lights of next week. But why don't we talk about that? Why don't we get into our lights of the week and start with our lows, Lauren? Tell me your low.
Okay, so my low is it's just that time of year where the spring is sprunging and my allergies are taking the front seat. They decide to come over and say hi, and it's just hasn't been so much fun. My eyes are itchy. I'm sneezing so much. And, like, as you guys know, like, well, actually, it's funny because last year around this time was when COVID started. Like, we didn't even acknowledge that yet, but, like, it's been a year since of March 2020. And I remember it being obviously around this time when my allergies got bad last year, and I remember thinking, like, oh my God, I have COVID. And because those, like, symptoms can be kind of similar. But obviously this year I have a little bit different, like, perspective. We know a little bit more about it, and, like, I don't have a reason to think that I have COVID right now, especially now that I have the vaccine. So it's just annoying, and I've been taking allergy medicine throughout the year just because my allergies have been kind of bad, and every time I, like, go off it, it just, like, gets bad, even if it's, like, December. So I, like, this is the first year I've kind of been taking it every day regardless, and now I've kind of built up this, like, it's almost like a drug where you build up, like, tolerance, and now it's, like, I wonder if I hadn't been taking the medicine if it would be worse right now. But now I'm just, like, changing up my medicine. I'm just trying to figure out, like, a better way to handle it. The last few days have been better, but I think that's just because it's been a little colder. So then in a few weeks, once it starts getting back up again, yeah. So it kind of sucks, but, you know, could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could always be worse. It is kind of crazy that we didn't even acknowledge in the beginning of this that it has been a year of this pandemic. And I just think that's so crazy to think about, like, what life was like a year ago, how we've kind of adapted and adjusted to this. Luckily, you and I haven't had any significant, any significant losses in terms of the pandemic. I mean, there's a lot of people that have lost family members, et cetera, or horrible, you know, horrible things that have happened in terms of economics, their businesses, all of those kinds of things. Luckily, we have been spared most of that. And I feel grateful about that. And, you know, I think we've kind of adapted into this pandemic lifestyle that it almost feels safe and comfortable in some ways. And, you know, I don't know, I've kind of tapped into my introvertedness a little bit and gotten comfortable in my, you know, just not venturing out and all of that. So I've sort of looked at it in the silver linings way. But anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that as well, because we could have probably done a whole episode on that, but we're choosing a different route today. So, and we have had lots of conversations about COVID and the effects it has had on us, on you, on college, on our relationship, on you coming home, all of those things. So we've definitely referred to this in other episodes. But in terms of my low light of the week, I guess I'm going to go to just this one. I had a couple nights where like I had really bad sleep, and, you know, kept being interrupted in terms of sleep. So that was kind of, it's frustrating when like you wake up and then you, you know, can't fall back asleep for a little bit. And then you go, you try to go back to sleep. And so one of the nights this past week was a bad sleep night event. So that's my low light.
Yeah. Also, like, to clarify, by like when I said I had good sleep, that usually a good night's sleep still means I wake up like two times in the middle of the night. So.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on like if you can fall back asleep.
For sure.
So I think I had one of those where it was just like really and challenging.
Like waking up feeling like well rested and not like super tired. Or like a lot of times I'll hit like a wall in the middle of the day and I'll know that like I was. Like, I didn't sleep very well. Like, at, like, 3 o'clock if I'm, like, super tired.
For sure. What about mediums? Should I say my medium?
Yeah, go for it.
My medium light of the week has also to do with sleep, and it happened on Friday night. I was just zonked. So I don't know if it was because of the night before not sleeping well or because I had gotten my second dose of the vaccine. And on Friday night, I was just so, like, I kept yawning out of nowhere. I was so tired.
So tired.
And at about 8:20, like, Dad's like, you know what? I'll take care of Jack. Usually, like, the dog will cry. We talked about this last week, that if I go into my room or whatever, he'll like, look for me and just be sad and want his mommy. And he didn't actually make any noises. And I got to go in bed at, like, 8:20, and I put on Firefly Lane. And started to watch it and then fell asleep. And it was like the biggest blessing of the week, just getting into bed early and like having a really good night's sleep on Friday night. I loved it.
That's nice, because actually the night after I got my vaccine was like one of the worst nights of sleep I've had in forever. I could not fall asleep. I woke up so many times, and like the next day, like you said, I was just yawning so much. I was just so tired. So that's funny that it was like fine for you.
Well, I would say that it was the day after. So Thursday is when I got the vaccine, and then Friday I
was so tired. Okay.
So I don't know how that relates to. I don't know if it was really because of that or what, but it just, I was so tired on Friday night. So I had just like a really good, you know, just to get into bed and like have the bedroom, like the bed to myself just to fall asleep, like go under the covers.
That kind of never happens for you.
Never happens. So it was kind of nice. Yeah. All right. What about your medium?
So my medium is just generally, like I mentioned earlier, just having like a good week friendship wise and everything. On Friday night, I had a really fun time with my roommates. We watched the game. We ordered food in, and we just like, just one of those nights where you just like, don't do anything except just like talk for hours, which are like my favorite kind of things. I love just like talking and sharing stories. We were telling stories about like camp and just like fun things from like childhood and like years ago. And like those are just like my favorite things to do, is just be nostalgic and reminisce and tell stories. So that was just like so fun. And then last night I went out to dinner, or well, we picked up dinner with my high school friends who I haven't seen in a while. So it was nice because it's funny because a couple of my close friends from high school go to school here, but we all just are kind of on different schedules. We have different circles we run in, and we live in all different places on campus, so it's rare that we all can find time where we're all free to, like, get together. So it was really nice to see them, and it was good to catch up, and always funny and fun times with them. So all in all, good, fun weekend.
Yay. Yay. Okay. Well, my highlight of the week has to do with the vaccines, because now Dad now has gotten his first, and I've both my doses, and Max has a first vaccine, and you've gotten both of yours completed, and Mima and Papa have both completed theirs, and it's so exciting that we are all in this place. And it's just crazy because I got my vaccine on Thursday, which was the anniversary of like them calling it a pandemic in the country. So like, it's just crazy to think what this year has been like. And it came full circle for me that was the day that I got the shot, was on that Thursday, which is like just crazy. It was the day that they considered the anniversary, and you know, the president spoke on Thursday night and all of that stuff. So it's just so crazy how it came full circle. And we are all, you know, I guess in a much, you know, we'll be in a much different place now, hopefully. So it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling because there's a lot of stress around it, and there's a lot of worries about the people you love, and that somebody's going to get sick and going to be in the hospital, and then you won't get to see them. And I don't know, just all those horrible things. And I'm thinking we're okay now. So that makes me feel so happy.
Yeah, it's a huge relief. And yeah, I think anyone who has the opportunity to get the vaccine should, even if maybe like, I'm not condoning lying or anything like that to get the vaccine, but if it's available to you and like you can get it, I recommend, because I think the more people who get it, the better. And it's just kind of funny because I'm forgetting that it's like almost like I can like do things again, kind of like it's, you almost like forget because you're so used to this life that we've had, and maybe other people aren't at that place yet because maybe they don't have the vaccine. You're like, oh wait, like I don't know, it's just a weird feeling that like,
well, yeah, I agree with you. And I feel like it's, you forget, but you also like still, even though you know that you can do things, it makes you nervous. Like, can you really? Is it really okay? You know, like.
Right. But then it's like, why did we get it why did we get it in the first place? Like, obviously the point of it is so that eventually things can go back to somewhat of what they were before. And so like, we have to get over it and like, do things, or else it's, what's the point of getting the shot?
You're right.
We can sit in our home still. Like, it's kind of dumb. So that's what I'm like trying to remember.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. All right. And so that was my high. Well, I think your turn.
Yeah. So my high kind of segues us into what we're going to talk about today, because my high begins approximately around an hour from now, because today, as I'm calling it, it is my Super Bowl. We start with the Big Ten Championship, which is Illinois versus Ohio State, which is very exciting. Like, as you guys, a lot of you probably know, Illinois has had a really bad run with sports for a long time. And it just feels so exciting that, like, that they're finally good at a time when I am a student here. And this year I've been really diligent about watching most of the games. I like know all the players, which is like something I don't usually do. It's like the last time I've known like a team of players, like the Cubs in the World Series a few years ago. Like, so that's like fun to just like have a team to root for. And the tournament begins this week, and like I always love March Madness. It's like one of my favorite things of the whole year. Like, it's just so fun to like make the bracket and then all the upsets. Like, it's just so exciting. And so I'm really excited for that today. We're manifesting a win. I mean, by the time this episode comes out, we'll know if they won or they lost. But regardless, I mean, it'd be cool if they won the Big Ten Championship. But regardless, they're likely going to be a 1 seed in the tournament, if not a 2 seed. So either way, it's just like so cool and exciting. And I'm excited for that. And then literally right after is Selection Sundays, which is like when they pick the seeds of the teams and all of that. And then it goes straight into the red carpet and the Grammys, which is what we're going to talk about today. And we are just so excited about it. I feel like 2020 if it's been anything besides a pandemic, it has truly been like the year of music, in my opinion. I just feel like so much good music came out this year, and it's just been like so fun. And as you guys know, our Swiftie fandom like really took off this year. And so it's just so exciting. And Taylor was nominated for 6 Grammys. So, I mean, I'm not saying she's going to win all of them. I'm sure she won't, but I hope she wins at least one. So I'll just be so cool. Hopefully album of the year is what I'm really pushing for with Folklore. So today I am just decked out. I got my Illinois t-shirt underneath and then I have my Folklore sweatshirt on top. So I'm just, it's funny. Like I took a video of me like with the two outfits today and I wrote something like, this is my Super Bowl except I'm rooting for two different teams. Kind of. So that's like the way I'm thinking of it. So it's going to be a fun day and I'm excited for all of it. I'm also just excited for all the Grammy performances too. So we're going to get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, well, it's the 63rd Grammys, and I am a big fan of all, like, award shows. I am, like, somebody who loves to, like, just from the red carpet through the award shows, like, I pretty much, like, push through and try to stay up late, and, like, I've always been that person since I can remember. But you, it's like a new kind of thing for you, I think, a little bit. Like, it's on the newer end, because I don't really think that you've been that interested in many of these award shows throughout. So I'm really excited that you're into it, too, because it's just – it makes me happy to carry on that legacy and tradition. So we thought we would kind of just go back. We actually pulled up the Grammy – like web page and kind of wanted to take a walk through the years with the Grammys in some ways and talk about some of the highlights over the years or award winners or the different, you know, song of the year, album of the year, those kinds of things, and kind of share how they relate to us in some ways. So I'm going to start with the year, like the first time that I was really interested was 1983, and I was like your typical Michael Jackson, like total crazy like teenage girl. So like I was the girl who had all of the posters covering her walls in her bedroom, and I like loved Michael Jackson like no other. So I can remember that year with the Grammys being so into it because he actually was up and won 9 Grammys. Like when you look it up, he won them, like 9. It's crazy. It was like the Thriller album. So that year, just if you look at like Album of the Year and Song of the Year, he won those two things. Beat It was the winner for, I guess it's Song of the Year, but it could have been Record of the Year, and I always get confused between those two things, and Album of the Year for Thriller. But I can remember him standing in there in this Sgt. Pepper kind of jacket, like Sgt. Pepper's, like the Beatles, like so it looked like military-like, and it was blue. It was kind of like a royal blue with gold on it. Like I can picture it. He was wearing sunglasses, and he was like standing there like holding all of them. 9 Grammys. It's crazy. So that was the year that I was like, I remember really watching it. I'm sure I watched it years before, but like it was really impactful starting that year for me because I was such a freak about Michael Jackson. Like literally. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine.
You know it?
Hmm?
I actually, there was this thing at the junior high where they had a talent show. And the idea was that, like, the MC of the talent show would dress up as Michael Jackson. And I tried out to be that person. There were 3 of us that, like, tried out. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I think it was Dana Sandell, this girl, Jenny Rogers, and myself. And Jenny Rogers ended up getting it. But, like, you know, you wore, like, one glove. And, like, I don't know how I did my hair and, like, whatever. And Jenny Rogers got to impersonate Michael Jackson. So shout out to you, Jenny. All right, so the next year that I wanted to bring up in terms of the Grammys happened on the 32nd Grammy Awards, and it was in the year 1989. And the winning song of that year was, yes, 1989, the year Taylor Swift was born. The winning song that year was The Wind Beneath My Wings. And honestly, I'm going to cry just thinking about it, but The Wind Beneath My Wings is such a special song in terms of my sister and I. That year, she was, that song came from the movie Beaches, and it's sung by Bette Midler, and it is a real emotional movie, and a really, and the song just gets me, like, I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm thinking about Jerry, and, like, tearing up, because it just describes a relationship, a really close female relationship, or I guess male, female, whatever, but I look at it in terms of my best friend, and one of those people is my sister, and we would say that each other is the wind beneath each other's wings, and you know, the lyrics are like, did you ever know that you're my hero, you're everything I wish I could be, and you know, I could fly higher than an eagle because you are the wind beneath my wings. And there was a special that summer, I guess it was 1989, she went, I was away at college, but in the summer I came home, and she went to show choir camp that summer, and they performed that song, and like, I was bawling, like, watching her sing it to me, because it was such a emotional song, and it was our song. So anyway, that's why I love that song won in 1989. So I love it.
Story.
Yeah. And then in the 34th, so 2 years later, in the 34th Grammy in the year 1991, the winner for Best New Artist was Mark Cohen. And most of you probably don't even know who Mark Cohen is, but he sang a song like Walking in Memphis. I don't know if he's Jewish. I kind of think he is. M-A-R-C. Cohen, C-O-H-N, but like,
seems like it.
Seems like it, right? And he sang a song called Walking in Memphis. And that song was really popular. Well, that year he won the artist, like the new artist of the year, I guess. And it's cool because on our wedding video, the song True Companion plays. And if you've never heard that song, it is a really special song for Corey and I, and it just talks about how, you know, your true companion, you are my true companion, blah, 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 and I just love the lyrics of it. So it's funny that he was one of the artists of the year because, you know, he's so awesome. So that brings me to the 2000s. And in, I guess it's, I'm trying to think about the year of this, but it looks like it's 2000. No, the next in order, the next winner of a artist of the year that I love is Alicia Keys. And I'm such a big Alicia Keys fan. I think it came even this year a little bit stronger during the pandemic, just how just strong of a woman she is. I began following her on Instagram. I read her book, her autobiography this past summer, I believe. And yeah, because you guys gave it to me for Mother's Day. And I don't know, I just got so into watching her sing her songs and like perform. And she's so talented on the piano. And I just love her. So she, of course, was one of the artists of the year, which is amazing, in 2001. And then also, we could not, I'm going to turn it over to you because I think you're going to take a little bit of the years that, and talk a little bit about some songs and some artists that have been important to you.
Yeah. So I guess like in terms of the Grammys, I mean, the Grammys have always been like the only award show that I really like somewhat relate to, just because like movies, TV shows, like I'm just not as well versed on those types of things, and like music is something I've always like been into and know about like somewhat, like even if I'm not like a biggest fan, like I always could know like the famous songs and like what the nominees were going to be like somewhat, so it was like always exciting. This year obviously I would say I have a little more like stake in the game, and I'm like way more excited about it just because I feel like I've just got, besides Taylor Swift aside, like I just feel like I've gotten into so much more music in general, so it's just like fun and exciting even more so. But I guess if you want to go like through my quote unquote like journey with music, I would say it really began when I was younger and I was really into American Idol, which, I mean, I don't watch it anymore, but I would say from when it started, when like Kelly Clarkson was the first winner, like I watched it and I was like 1 year old. You guys would watch it and I would sit there. And I watched, like, I would say like the first like 10 years of my life, that was like my favorite show. I mean, reality show, I would say. I just loved it. Like, I would love all of the contestants. I would just stand so hard. I believe the third or fourth season, I was like, when I was old enough to just really get into it, and so much so that I was obsessed with this American Idol magazine.
It was like People magazine that had American Idol like cover stories. So it was actually a People magazine.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yes, I think I didn't know that. And I brought it everywhere. I brought it to the store. I would read it in the car. I memorized the words. Like, I memorized everything about it. I slept with it in bed. Like, I would hold, I mean, I had my blankie and Bluey that I still sleep with at night, in addition to this American Idol magazine that I would sleep with. Which is ironic because I really, and that was, I think, the year that was, like, Fantasia won American Idol, and, like, Jennifer Hudson was on it, and all of that. But I think that the year that I really, really got into it was, I guess it was the following season.
The third season.
That was the third season. The fourth season.
Oh, okay. Season 4.
And that's okay. What I'm about to say, because that season was the season that Carrie Underwood won American Idol, and Bo Bice was the runner-up, and Bonzel Solomon was third place. Like, I could name all of the people. Michaela Gordon, LaToya London. No, that's the year before. That's the year before. Just all these people, like
Anwar Robinson.
Anwar Robinson ain't nobody. There are videotapes of Max and I, like, singing. Oh, Lindsay Cardinelli, I sang her Knock on Wood song. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bore you guys with the details, but I just was obsessed. And so Carrie Underwood won American Idol, and that's how she started. She was like 16, I think, when she was on the show, something like that. And so I would say, like, the Grammy year that I attached to this was 2006, which is when she won Best New Artist at the 49th Grammys, I believe. And so it's funny because, like, in my head, she wasn't a brand new, like, a new artist to me when she, like, broke on the music scene. In 2006, I'm sure, is when her first album, which I think is called Some Hearts, came out. And that's, like, with Before He Cheats, which everyone knows that song. And Jesus Take the Wheel, and just some of these, like, songs I loved as a kid. And then she came out with that other album that has, like, All American Girl and I'm flat on the floor with my head down low and skacking.
Lauren, take it away.
American Idol, like, has brought me so many, like, of those artists that I love. Like, Kelly Clarkson started American Idol, and I loved her music as a kid. I used to sing, like, Since You've Been Gone and, like, Miss Independent all the time. Those were, like, my songs. And a few years later, I was, like, Chris Daughtry and, like, a bunch. I don't know. I could go on and on and on, but basically, I would say that's a year that I would attach as, like, a special one, because that was, like, a exciting moment, just that there were successful people from the show that went on to do more, and I could name a bunch more since then, but again, not gonna bore you with the details, but, like, American Idol was just so special.
I think Jennifer Hudson was actually in the Carrie Underwood season.
No, she wasn't. She was the year before with Fantasia.
Oh, okay. Well, it's crazy. You're right. You are the trivia buff on American Idol.
I am. And then, like, a few years, like, and then remember when Hailey Reinhart was on American Idol? That was probably, like, that was when I was older at this point, like, fifth grade, maybe. And that was when I started kind of phasing out of it. But that was super exciting because she was from, like, Wheeling, Illinois, and we went to the concert at the Arlington Racetrack.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, like, the thing is about this is, like, I think the Grammys – there's probably going to be boring parts or whatever, but for artists, it's like the ultimate is to win a Grammy, right? Like, that's like the pinnacle. Like, I think American Music Awards aren't as, like, it's important and they're great, I'm sure, like, but to win a Grammy is kind of like the most prestigious. Sure. But so when you think about somebody like, well, a couple of things, like the Grammys are, it's going to cover lots of different genres that like we may or may not be interested in to watch, but because it's such a prestigious award. And then you think about the fact that like Carrie Underwood on a show, like a reality show where America picks and votes, mm-hmm. she ends up winning it and it legitimizes it even more, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, that just legitimizes that show. You know what I mean? But she was one of the biggest, I mean, for so many reasons, like such a chart topper. And she's gone on to do some really great things. She's pretty impressive.
She's still coming out with great music. I still listen to her music. She's one of my favorite country artists still, especially because in country music, it's a very male-dominated industry. And that's typically like the artist I listen to. And I would say Carrie Underwood is like on that small list that I really still like I still listen to her, even her old stuff, like Before He Cheats, still a banger.
Yeah, it makes me want to listen to that when we're done with this.
We should.
Okay. So what else did you want to talk about?
Okay, so the next year that I put was 2009. It is a very important year in music. I actually wrote all four main awards because I could talk about each of them. The record of the year in 2009 was Use Somebody by Kings of Leon, which there's really nothing to say except for the fact that I used to love that song. I still love that song. Just a good feel good song. I just have memories of like listening to it and makeup dances to it and all of that. Album of the year, of course, none other than Fearless by Taylor Swift. It is a very important album for her. It was definitely her breakthrough album. As you guys know, that was a big year because of the VMAs. That was the whole Kanye scandal. So her ability to win the VMAs, like for a music video, whatever, and then still win the Grammy for Album of the Year is just amazing. She was only 18 then. So I believe at that point she was the youngest to win the Grammy. Now she doesn't hold that record anymore, but still really cool. And then Song of the Year was Single Ladies by Beyonce, which of course such a banger classic song. And I would say in high school I was like we were huge Beyonce fans. I mean, I still am a big fan of her, and that was like my person, like how Taylor Swift is my person now, that was Beyonce. But I think Taylor Swift has surpassed like the level of stand-up I had for Beyonce. But we went to her concert in high school, when I was in high school.
Also, I just want to bring up like Taylor Swift, that was a really big year. Taylor Swift also won Best Female Country Vocal Performance for White Horse.
Oh, that's cool. And that's, I love that song.
I know, I'm a little deeper in that year. Like Run to You, Lady Antebellum won.
Lady A.
Yeah, sorry, Lady A. But then we were, you know, and I Told You So by Carrie Underwood and Randy Travis. So again, Carrie Underwood. And White Horse won Best Country Song too. Liz Rose and Taylor Swift songwriters.
Oh.
Country album Fearless that same year. So it was a big year for, and then going up to Beyonce to talk back about her again. She also won, Lady Gaga won big that year for The Fame and Poker Face.
Yeah, that's a lot of,
like, I know. I got a feeling. So
transcended time, like, today.
Lauren, listen, I got a feeling the winner of Best Pop Performance with a Duo and a Group of Vocals. And Beyonce, the winner for Halo.
Awesome. Amazing. Yeah. And, like, the other thing that was on there was Best New Artist, which was Zach Brown Band in 2009. And I don't think I was a Zach Brown Band fan in 2009, but I certainly am now. And I went to their concert a few years ago. They were amazing. One of the best concerts ever. So it's just, this was just a big year. Like a lot of songs and people that I really love. Like I've seen two out of four of the things I just mentioned in person in concert. And I'm sure one day I'm going to see Taylor in concert. It's bound to happen.
Yeah, we should try to find it on like YouTube to watch the whole Grammys of 2009.
I know, like this is just
a big deal.
2009 is really our year. And then I guess the last year I had was 2013. I don't know if you had anything in between those.
No, 2015. So 2013.
Okay. So 2013, the only thing I wrote was just best new artist was Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, which is probably from their song Can't Hold Us.
Oh.
And then like Thrift Shop was another like Macklemore song. And that song about like being like the LGBTQ song. It's, I forget what that song's called. That was really famous of theirs. But yeah, it was, that just, there's really nothing to say except those songs just really like transport me to like a specific time in my life. Like that was peak bar bat mitzvah years. And it kind of was funny because recently I, as you guys know, huge Spotify playlist person. And this past week I like made two playlists of like songs that really take me back. One was like younger, so like the 2009 type of music I was listening to, and then like the 2013 era. So it's just so funny how music has such, like everyone just has such special attachments to certain songs, or they just take you back to certain times in your life. We could do a whole podcast in itself about that, and just like how music just has so many memories associated with it. And some songs could be like the most random songs that like you wouldn't think even are important to you, and then it just, it's just attached with a certain memory, you know?
For sure. And like this year, 2015 was another important year in terms of our favorite musical artists. And here's it's interesting because it was on that year, it says Kendrick Lamar's performance. Oh. The Blacker, The Berry, and All Right songs became unofficial soundtracks for the Black Lives Matter movement in 2015. Wow. And then they also did an honoring Whitney Houston because she had passed that year. And then Taylor Swift, Album of the Year for 1989, among three awards she won that year, she was the first woman to win Album of the Year twice.
Swift. Yeah, that's, remember they talk about that in the documentary, and it's like she says, like, that's all I ever wanted, but like I had no one who like went on that journey with me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So that is a pretty big thing. And if she wins tonight for Album of the Year, it would be the three times. It would be, it's a record. Pray. I mean, she's beating her own record, but her show-stopping performance of Out of the Woods proved that she's a powerful, self-assured woman. And who could forget that performance? That's like an amazing,
literally iconic
performance. The Eagles was another thing where they strummed through their first hit, the classic Take It Easy. But they were talking about Glenn Frey, who passed away in January of that year. And it was such a, like, that was such an iconic 2015 also. So like now makes me want to go back and look at that. Adele performed, Justin Bieber, Where Are You Now, his song was played that night. So anyway, what a good Grammys. And now we're on to the 2020 Grammys.
Well, 2021, but for 2020 music, correct. Which is, this last year is just, like I said earlier, it's just been such a year of music. I feel like so much good music has come out this year. And shameless plug for my Odyssey article that I wrote the other day that talks about a bunch of songs I've been super into lately. So add those to your playlist because they're definitely good. And so with tonight and the Grammys this year in mind, Mom, who are you the most excited to see perform? Besides Taylor, let's figure out the equation.
So because I really had never heard of Haim before, and they sing on Taylor's No Body, No Crime song, now we're kind of getting into their music a little bit, and I'm really excited about their performance tonight. I'm also really excited to see Maren Morris, Chris Martin, John Mayer, some of those people. Super excited to see those. Who are you excited to watch besides Taylor?
Well, besides Taylor and all the people you mentioned, I'm really excited for Harry Styles. He's going to be opening the Grammys. Yeah, and Harry Styles, I feel like if you're a Taylor fan, you also should be a Harry fan. Like, I just think it kind of goes hand in hand. And I've
gotten really into his music and I'm sure we'll probably perform something from Vine Line, so that'll be great. I'm excited because Dua Lipa and DaBaby are performing, so I'm assuming they'll perform Levitating together, which is like one of my favorite songs of this year. Such a bop.
Isn't that interesting how like the TikTok songs are like now like all over the Grammys?
I was going to say like I'm sure like because like Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi B are performing. I'm sure like Savage is going to be like a song, and Doja Cat, which is like Say So, like that was such a big TikTok song. So yeah, TikTok has really influenced the Grammys a lot this year. Post Malone too, I'm sure, is going to be great. And yeah, you said Chris Martin, John Mayer. Excited about everyone. It's going to be fun. BTS. I'm not even a BTS fan, but like I feel like everyone just loves BTS.
So cool. All right, well, that wraps up our talk about the Grammys and all the hype.
One more. Billie Eilish. What? Billie Eilish, duh. Yeah. Which actually brings me into what I'm into for the week, so I'm sorry to like just cut you off and switch gears, but that's what we were going to talk about anyways. So this week, my roommate Mia, shout out Mia, who's, if you guys think we're big music people, you have not met Mia. She is just on a whole other level, and she made us watch the Billie Eilish documentary the other day, and it was just so good. I always like appreciated Billie Eilish for her music. I mean, I was, you know, a very local listener. Everyone knows Bad Guy, but like, and you know, speaking of Grammys, she swept the Grammys in 2019. She won everything, which was just crazy. I totally remember watching that too. And she just kept winning and winning.
And she was the artist of that year too.
Yeah, she was everything. If you look at that list that you have earlier, she's not the whole thing. Yeah. But yeah, I was never really a listener beyond that. And I watched the documentary and I just fell in love with her and her story. I just thought she's just, for her age and what she's gone through, she's just super talented. And so, of course, after that, huge rabbit hole of Billie Eilish, listening to her entire discography. And I really like her EP, which came out, I think, in 2017. And yeah, I just, now I'm into her now. I mean, it's just fun to just find new people and new artists to listen to. And you know, Billie Eilish is a genre of music I don't know if I would have given a chance a few years ago. I feel like I was just very narrow-minded about the music I listened to. But I think you just got to give things a chance. You never know if you're going to like it. And just fun to have all this music to listen to and diversify. So.
Yep. Well, speaking of listening, what I'm into for this week is the new podcast called Taylor Swift, Every Single Album. Hannah Khan got us into this awesome podcast where they literally take apart each album and like dissect it. It's there's two kind of people that are like on the kind of giving the podcast, and they both have a real strong connection to the music industry. And Nora Princiati and Nathan Hubbard are their names, and they're the hosts. And it's about a little over an hour on each one. But they've done debut album and then Fearless for the second one. This one is going to be amazing, the next one, because we can't wait to hear what they have to say about Speak Now. We love Speak Now so much. So that's what I'm into. And then also, I don't know if you see this, but I have this little pimple patch on. So that's another
thing. See it?
You see it?
No, I can't see it.
I know. So there are these like, they're the rage everywhere. I've been seeing them on my TikTok feed, I guess. And they're like, they're called pimple patches. And like the one I bought was acne pimple patch. And it literally, I bought it on Amazon, and it gave me like 132, like so many more patches for the money, that I went with like an off-brand title name, but they kind of work. So like you peel it off. It's just like this like little sticker thing you put on your face, and then it absorbs all the gunk and everything and heals your acne and not doesn't leave you with any scars. So I'm into them.
Maybe I'll give it a shot.
I have a lot of them because I have 132. Well, I've probably used like 10, so I've had about 120. I'll give you 61 pimple patches, Laura.
Okay. When I'm home, I'll come try.
So if you have any acne, guys, go check them out. They're kind of cool and available on Amazon. We can share the link in our show notes.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great episode. I feel like we talk about music a lot on this podcast, but it just makes me so happy. It's just, there's a music for every mood you're in, and it's just heals the soul. And I'm really excited about the Grammys this year, and I hope that it all works out how we want it to, but also just we'll enjoy the experience of all the performances. And then next year we'll have more music to reminisce about and have a Grammys for. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, so it should be fun. And we are, you know, look, like I said, we're hours away for the 63rd Grammy Awards.
Yep.
Very exciting. Go Illinois.
Yes, go Illinois. Yeah, it's been worth the wait because it got delayed a bunch of times. The Grammys, which things. And Illinois basketball. So this is just
Should be good, though. Like, so the host is Trevor Noah, and yeah, he's awesome.
He is awesome.
I'm excited to hear him and see him. And maybe, you know, people will be backstage and, you know, maybe there'll be people. I doubt there'll be people in the audience. I'm sure it'll be just like how Taylor performed Betty at the American Music Awards. That was the CMAs.
We'll see. That was CMAs. The CMAs.
Yeah. So anyway, but I'm just excited and I can't wait. Thanks so much for listening today, everybody. We love you. If you stood with us throughout this whole this time, thank you so much. And remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast. Like and follow us on our social media, and just listen. You know, listen next week. Tell people about it. Share things that you'd like to hear from us. And have a really great week. Thanks so much. Take care of yourselves and others.
Bye, guys.